Shmas Avram. But as I was just saying to you, Toby, before, the Nishmas Avram combines two different sections this week. And the reason for that is that as we go through the part that we're up to, which starts with the page that says Shin Sadi Ches, we're going to be referring back to things that he writes earlier in the Nishmas Avram, not things that we've seen, things that we haven't gotten to, but that are directly relevant to what we're going to be talking about. So that's why you have a packet that starts with Shin Yudalid, Shin Tezvav, Shin Tezayin, and then jumps to Shin Sadi Ches. We'll be starting on Shin Sadi Ches, and then we're going to jump back. And the reason why it's all in one PDF, as opposed to doing one PDF of Shin Sadi Ches, etc., and then one of the Shin Yudalid pages, is just because I find it easier to work with one file instead of having to send links for multiple files. So if you just download the Nishmas Avram that I posted online, that's all you need for this week. We're still in his introduction to Or HaChaim, but what he's doing here is really kind of jumping through a lot of different cases that come up in a hospital setting. So what we're going to see today, I think I mentioned it in the email, is we're going to start with being hooked up to a monitor, and then he's going to talk about a ventilator, and then he's going to talk about an IV that is dispensing things electronically, and then he's going to go from that into a Shabbos elevator and a regular elevator, and it's kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure that I would have done it that way, putting that into an introduction. But that's what he's doing here. All under the heading of things that happen in hospitals. That's really the heading that he used for this section. So that last time he talked about carrying in the hospital setting, and we did that very briefly in terms of the Eruv Chatzeros, and now we're up to monitors. So we're on the page that says Shin Sadi Chet at the top. If you're looking at the Nishmas Avram file that I sent you, it's the fourth page. And right at the top where it says monitor. Okay, everyone has it? Okay. So, monitor. Chole ha-kashur le-machshir, parentheses monitor, ha-mar'eh al ha-masach tarshimim shel EKG, dofek, lachatz dam, v'chule. A patient who is hooked up to a device, parentheses monitor, that shows on the screen EKG readings, pulse, blood pressure, and so on. Muter lo lazuz b'mitaso. He's allowed to move around in bed. Al af shal yedekach mishtanim atarshimim sha'al hamasach. Even though, by doing that, he's affecting the readouts. So he doesn't have to say, if I move, that changes my heart rate, that changes my whatever. That's not a concern. He's allowed to move around that way, and it's not an issue. And he gives you footnote 82 down to the bottom of the page. Shamati mimor v'rabi agon Rav Neuwirth. He learned that from Rav Neuwirth, who is the author of Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa. Clear? Okay. He then says, Re'ei ma shekasavti b'simen shen ches sivkat en beiz b'inyan nituk mimenu b'shabbos. He says, see what I wrote earlier on a related issue, which is separating from a monitor on Shabbos. So that's where we jump within the packet. Go back to, he tells you, Amud Shin Ted Zayin, the page that has Shin Ted Zayin at the top, which is the preceding side in the packet. So all you're doing is going to page 3 within the packet, and at the bottom of the first column where it says monitor. Okay, that's what you want. So he says the following. Chole kashur le monitor. You have a patient who is connected to a monitor. And again, it's what we described before. It's showing the results of his vitals. L'chora gam l'shitas ha-chazon ish. Even within the view of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is known for saying that completing an electronic circuit is an issue of construction on Shabbos and could be violation of biblical law. And separating it, theoretically, maybe we'll make an argument to Soser, the reverse of construction and prohibited. He says, even within the Chazon Ish, ein benituk iser deoraisa. separating from the monitor is not a biblical prohibition. It's possible that it's even permitted entirely outright. Why? Logical point. Anyone want to guess before you see what he says? Why would it be entirely mutter to separate from the monitor? It's very logical once you hear it. He says, let's read it. Bottom line on Shin Tes Zayin in the first column. He says, let's say you have a patient who is connected to some kind of IV that is sending him a medication. He is able to separate the device from the wall. Which the Chazon Ish would say that's an issue of construction if you attach it to the wall and demolition if you separate it. Because you are opening or closing an electrical circuit. But meidach legabei took me a monitor. But when it comes to attaching to the monitor or separating from the monitor, hakolam and atekes atzmo me a monitor v'amonitor nishar daluk umchubar lakir lelo kol shinui b'magal hashmali. He says, when the patient is hooked up to the monitor or disconnected from the monitor, the monitor is still running. The power is still running through the monitor. It's just that the patient is no longer connected. But the electrical circuit has not been opened or closed by dint of being hooked up to the patient. The monitor is still live, so to speak, with or without the patient attached. That's his point. V'omnam, in truth, he does acknowledge, L'shitas HaChazon Ish, yesh binyan b'chibur machshir l'makor chashmal hanimtza. It is true, the Chazon Ish would say that there is an issue of construction when you connect the device to the electrical source. Ach l'chora ein svara lomar shechibur shal ben adam l'machshir, shirak modeda shinoy hachashmal hanotzar k'totza'a b'pu'lot shal evrei haguf, halev zrimat adam v'chulei. Yebo mishum bona v'soser. He says, even though the Chazon Ish will tell you that hooking it up to the wall does constitute construction, hooking up the patient to the device is not adding anything in terms of a circuit. All it's doing is you're going to change the electrical flow. You're going to cause fluctuations in that as a result of what the body is doing. But that's not bona v'soser. That's not a problem of construction or demolition. I see your hand, Dr. Block. Just hang on 1 second. So the patient could unhook himself on Shabbos. Not just if he says, well, I want to be able to go to daven in a minyan. There's a minyan in the hospital chapel or whatever. But even if that's not the issue, even if he just wants to take a trip down the down the hallway, that, he says, is fine. Dr. Block.
There's a logistics problem here. When you take someone off the monitor, all of a sudden you hear bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have the bells and whistles going off when he comes off the monitor.
Right.
And you also get a flat line. So mm-hmm. You're changing the description of what's on the monitor screen.
Right. So his point is not to say nothing will be involved. His point is to say it's not bona v'soser. That's what he's accomplishing. It's not called construction. It's not called demolition within the Chazon Ish's position. There may be separate questions. In terms of the issue of adjusting the electrical flow, so he's going to be good with that because he is going to follow the view, I think we're going to see it, that causing a fluctuation in the flow of electricity is not a malacha on Shabbos. As long as you aren't opening or closing a circuit, that's not going to be a problem for him.
You would have a problem with elevators? Changing the weight on an elevator?
So there are issues with elevators, which we're going to get to. We'll talk about that. We're not there yet, but that's coming up today. So hang in there for the elevator. Where there may be an issue is if it's going to make loud noises, right? Like the beeping, that really annoying beeping for anyone who has ever stayed in a hospital overnight, from the device when it's complaining about the disconnection. So maybe there you'll have an issue, a derabanan issue. But not a de'oraisa. Yeah, we'll talk elevators. We have to get there. So far, all he's saying is you can unhook from the monitor without it being a biblical violation. We're now on the page that says Shin Tet Zion at the top, the middle of the second column. He says, V'hiskim moi v'rabi hagon Rav Neuvert shlita. He says, Rav Neuvert, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, agreed im kol zeh, agreed with everything I just said. V'hosifli, and he added, ki chamochein mutter l'chatchila l'avor derech mitkan l'bedikat neshek samui. This is not about hospitals now, but it's an application of what he just said. He says, you would be allowed to go through a metal detector that is intended to find hidden weapons. Ki gam sham hamitkan patuach ve'obeid kol hazman. Because again, you're not turning it on or off. It's constantly running. Uksha adam over sham, when a person crosses through, hamispar ole lefi kamut hamatechet shenimteid al gufo, so whatever number it's using to grade the metal content of whatever is passing through, the number will go up. Ve'ein sham she'ela shabona ososer, there's no issue of construction or demolition, ki over b'machshir eino mechabe omad likachash malshe b'mitkan, because going through it does not turn it on or off. That's his point. Gam amar li moi v'rabi agon Rav Neuvert shlita shemuter lo lazuz b'mita kiritzono. Rav Neuvert also told me he's allowed to move around in the bed. Al avsha kol tenua goremet l'shinui b'tarshimim u'misparim hamofiyim b'masach, even though that changes the readouts and the numbers on the screen, and that's what we noted already from the footnote in the previous column. No problem, he says. And he says, see further, Shin Mem, where he's going to discuss this further. That's what he has to say for now. Yes, Dr. Felder.
Is the metal detector a similar situation? It sounds that way, too. A motion detector light that I'm walking down Friday night on the road, and I click off. The motion detector's already set. It happened to, I didn't turn on the light, but it was a circuit already going. I didn't plug in or disconnect, but there's a problem with setting off a motion detector. It's in the same way that setting off bells or setting off a medical detector. It sounds like you're saying the medical detector is not a problem, but I thought that it sounds so similar to a motion detector. Is a motion detector also no problem?
No, so the difference between the metal detector and the motion detector is you're correct, there is a difference, is that when you're dealing with the metal detector, you actually do turn on a light. The light was off, and thanks to your motion, the light is now on. There are leniencies regarding motion detectors, for different reasons, some of which we actually may get to tonight. But it would be, according to the Chazon Ish, you've now caused a circuit to be completed.
When I caused the bell to go off when I walked in the middle, I didn't close the circuit?
So,
a different circuit?
So the understanding he has is that everything is live at that point. It's interesting because he didn't talk about a bell going off, right? He talked only about the numbers changing on the readout. I wonder if, I've gone through those detectors at the Kotel on Shabbos, and I have to say, I haven't done it that often. I don't stand there watching see what happens when others go through. But I don't think I've ever heard a sound go off. It could be that they're actually silent on Shabbos. The soldier who's watching sees what the numbers are, sees the readout. But it could be that they, Davka, don't have that in order to avoid that problem that you're pointing out. Possible. Okay. I don't know. So that's his argument for permitting the connection disconnection of the monitor. We're going to come back to monitors and plugging them in. That's going to be an issue very shortly. But right now, we go back to the page that has Shin Tzarichet. So it's the next page, the one that we started on. So at number 5, he's talking now about a patient on a ventilator. Okay, everyone sees that? Okay. Chole shemunsham mugdar kechole sheyesh bo sakana. He says, a patient who is on a ventilator is defined as chole sheyesh bo sakana, somebody who is dangerously ill. Chole kaze eino mesugal ledaber. So somebody who is on a ventilator is not able to speak. V'chol ha'kesher shalom imhad mitapalim bo hu bir mizah. The only thing that he's able to do to communicate is hint things to the people who are taking care of him. U'b'sha'as ha'tzarech b'ksiva, in a case of need, so he would write. So im b'shabes nachutz lo ma'od davar sheach lebriyuso. So if on Shabbos there is something that he needs for the sake of his health, ve'eno yachol la'avir es bakasha sal yedei remizah bilvad, and he's not able to hint, he's not getting the message across, mutar lo gam lichtov etzos, so he'd be allowed to write in order to communicate the message. Even though you'll say this is not part of his medical care, it is part of his medical care. He's writing in order to be able to get the medical care. And that's going to be a theme that we're going to see in a couple of different ways coming up. Ve'alav lidog letzamtzem b'ksiv aso k'chol ha'efshar. He should try to write as little as possible. Ve'im yachol lechtov rak mila ushtayim k'dei shevinu oso ein lo lechtov yoser. If he's able to just write a word or two and then they'll understand, that's great. That's what he ought to do. And in the footnote 83, he says again, this came from Rav Neuwirth. Obviously, but I'll say it anyway, if it's a time-sensitive thing and he needs it right now, he should not be spending his time trying to be cute about it and write as little as possible. We want to make sure that he gets the care that he needs. The only time he's allowed to say, well, let me try to reduce it, is if it's not going to cost him anything, if it doesn't endanger his treatment. Dr. Block, you were going to say?
Well, I just wanted to say that there are other methodologies that can be tried. I mean, we could have a board of some sort where the patient could point to something. Yeah. That's addressed. We have a board that has critical situations, like I can't breathe or I'm choking or something like that.
Right.
That he could just point to it if he's that cognizant that he can do that.
Right.
That he could write. If he's cognizant enough to write, then he'd be cognizant enough to have a board and try to get around that one entirely.
That makes sense. Yeah. I only know that he wrote this at some time when he was consulting with Rav Neuwirth. So it's, you know, some number of years ago, but not that many. Rav Neuwirth passed away several years ago. But I don't know how long ago he wrote this and what was in use. I would have thought a board would be a fairly standard technology that they'd be using, but I don't know. Okay. So continuing in the Nishmas Avram, still under the heading of the patient on the ventilator. Choleha sovel mehafsakot nishima b'sheina. A patient who is suffering from, as you see in parentheses, sleep apnea. Their breathing stops while they're sleeping. Chole kaze mugdar kechole sheyesh bo sakana. He is considered dangerously ill. V'chayev lishtamesh b'machshir miyuchad. And he needs a special device. CPAP, BiPAP, there's an APAP also. Hamuf alim, there's a typo there. It should say muf alim with an ayin in the middle of it. Ayyedei chashmal, which is activated by electricity. They introduce air into the lungs via the mask. Despite the high pressure, the air pressure, because of his illness. Now, sleep apnea is a very big place, right? There are, I forget, four or five different levels of sleep apnea. And yeah, I still remember somebody when I first gave shiur on sleep apnea and CPAP machines. So there was a doctor who said, you know, in the most severe form of sleep apnea, level 4, I think it was, then a patient is like somebody who's in the ICU and is in danger of dying because their breathing stops. And in level 1, the patient is in danger of dying because the other person in the room may murder them because of their snoring. There are different gradations of sleep apnea. But what he is actually saying here, and I remember when I first read this, I wrote to him to ask him whether this is really what he means, is not only that a patient with severe sleep apnea is chole sheyesh bo sakana because he can't breathe, but even a patient who, in the long term, is in danger. Because sleep apnea is linked to cardiovascular problems over the course of decades, even that person is called chole sheyesh bo sakana. That is his position, and he's basing it on Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Others disagree and say chole she'ein bo sakana for someone where it's long-term damage, for reasons that we may get to. I didn't want to make this a shiur about sleep apnea, but he says it is chole sheyesh bo sakana. Yes, Dr. Block.
Yeah, First of all, I got the idea from him that it was anybody who was diagnosed as having sleep apnea based on the fact that they have a certain amount of apneic episodes per minute, or their oxygen level goes down below a certain saturation right. point. And that's what I gathered, and that's you made that point when you called him, that that's exactly what he meant. Now, I have a new CPAP machine now that you can put on a Shabbos clock.
Interesting.
Before, you could put on a Shabbos clock, so it would shut itself off, and you couldn't shut it, it wouldn't go back on. But I have one that's on now, the newest one's out. So I have changed from doing Kriyachiyad for it, use my elbow to turn it on, and I'm now using a for the first 2 weeks now, I'm using a regular a Shabbos clock. Now, of course, I'm much Feinstein, I'm in trouble, but what can I tell you?
Yes. Oh, unless you just rig it so that it turns on the heater in the house, and then it'll be justified. But in terms of the device, I don't know what device you were using before, but what I understand from people who use different CPAP machines is that the reason why it turns itself off is because of the lack of resistance on the other side. And so what they say to do is to wrap it in a towel, start it before Shabbos, keep the mask wrapped in a towel, and then it will actually keep running. And apparently, according to the manufacturers and people who use them, it could run right through a three-day yantif with no damage to the machine. So you, when you're ready to use it, when you're ready to put it on, you unwrap it, put it on your face, and then when you're done, you take it off and just wrap it back up in the towel. That's the that was the advice that I received and that I've given to people. But I was not familiar with a model that works on a Shabbos clock, because the ones I'm familiar with require that you push buttons in order to get it going at the right setting and so on. So a Shabbos clock would reset all of that. So you've got one that doesn't do that, that doesn't reset all the settings. Interesting. Okay.
I'm very happy for it.
Yeah. Sounds great. So the so he says here that the patient who is using this is called chole sheyesh bo sakana, and therefore he's able to use this the CPAP or BiPAP machine. It's interesting because when you use a CPAP, when someone uses a CPAP machine, so it's a fairly dumb machine in the sense that it's just blowing out air, as opposed to APAP and BiPAP, where with certain of the devices there's actually a degree in which it will change the force of the air that it is blowing in response to the patient's own breathing, so it doesn't overwhelm the patient, and so that the patient is able to have a give and take, so to speak, with the machine. But even still, it's considered appropriate to use. So he says here, for a variety of reasons, I'm not going into the whole CPAP machine thing now, but we're back in the Nishma Savram, Hamachshir, where eight lines up from the bottom in the first column, right after the period. Hamachshir miyuad l'tipul beiti. The machine is designed for home use. In other words, not a hospital setting necessarily. V'acholech chayav l'shtamesh bo kol laila. And the patient has to use it every night. B'shabbatot b'yamim tovim yafil et hamachshir al yedei sha'on shabbat. Shemechuvan l'afil et hamachshir lifnei shacholeh olech lishon ulafziko b'boker acharei shukam. So he, Dr. Block, had some kind of Shabbos clock eligible device, which again I had not seen, but he describes one and says that's what you ought to use. B'midashish tzarech bekach yadligas hamachshir b'shinui, and he says if you need to, then you use a shinui to turn it on, like what you were doing. K'gonim gava etzba, like the back of the finger. B'kima, when you get up, yashir et hamachshir daluk ad matzai Shabbos, so then you leave it on until Shabbos is over. That's his counsel. And again, as the machines develop, different questions arise. So one classic one, which maybe we'll get to, we're not going to get to it tonight, is that many of the machines now have digital readouts, which will record a person's breathing and record all sorts of their data. So when they attach themselves, when they put the mask on their face, now they're also causing that readout to give information. So there are answers for all of it, but it's an interesting issue. Okay. We're up to number six. Number six takes us, we're still within this category of hospital settings and issues that go on in hospitals. So now he says, Eroi. Eroi means infusion. So you have a device that, let's say through an IV, is sending stuff into the body. Ein lahachnis iruy toch vridi b'shabbos l'shmiras vrid patuach. Ela medubar b'chol ashiyesh bo sakana o chashash sakana. He says, you may not introduce an intravenous infusion on Shabbos in order to keep a vein open, unless you're talking about it's a chol ashiyesh bo sakana, or there is a possible sakana, a possible danger. The reason for that is, what's the issue? Why is it? Why is putting in an IV a problem?
Is it a drawing blood issue?
Yeah.
Making a wound.
Drawing blood. It's not so much the a wound as it is drawing the blood, because as I understand it, when you seat a needle in a vein, you need to take back a little bit of blood out of it just to make sure that the needle is seated properly. And that's Netilas Neshama, one of the malachos of Shabbos, if you draw blood. So if the patient is dangerously ill, then of course you do it. But otherwise, one is not supposed to do it. V'chein ein lahotzi o lahachlif iruy b'Shabbos. You're also not supposed to remove or change a needle on Shabbos for this. Elim kein yesh bo sakana shel zihum, unless there's a fear of infection. Im lo osin kein, if you wouldn't do that. Oh, im nistam hatzinur o havarid, or if the tube is blocked or the blood vessel is blocked. Uzgu kim le'iruy b'vrid acher. And you need to insert into a different vein. B'Shabbos b'chol ashiyesh bo sakana chashash sakana. If you're talking about somebody who needs this on Shabbos, who is dangerously ill or possibly dangerously ill, and he says re'eh le'el shintet zayin. He refers you back to an earlier discussion, but I didn't bring it here because it doesn't really add much. It's basically what he just said here. Okay, but the next line is iruy mimchushav. Should be Mimuchshav. I don't know. His next one, actually, let me see. I've got the new edition where he corrects many of the typos. I want to see if it's Mimchushav or Mimuchshav there. No, he still has his Mimchushav. All right, maybe that's what the word is in Hebrew. Either way, it's a computerized infusion. So he says, see what I wrote earlier, and that's what I brought you in the beginning of the packet from tonight. So if you go back to the first page of the packet, where it says Shin Yud Dalet at the top, and you want the very bottom of the first page, where it says number one. Cholesh shemekabel iruy toch vridi al yedei. Machshir chashmali. You know what? It is a typo. Because here he has mimuchshav instead of mimuchushav. Okay, mimuchshav makes a lot more sense, I think. Okay. I'm making a big deal out of it because I'm collecting typos in it to send him. So that's why I'm stuck on this. So you have a patient who is receiving an intravenous infusion via an electronic device. So it's computer controlled. So he writes, Yeshnam, flip the page, Cholim shetzvichim lekabel iroy im trufa. There are patients who need to receive an infusion with medication, kasher kamuda trufa nitenet ba'ofen meduyak, in which there's a need for precision in figuring out the dose, calculating the dose. L'shem kach nitan ha'iruy derech machshir ha'mechubar l'chashmal. For that purpose, the infusion is given via a device that is connected to electricity. K'dei levaseit ba'ofen meduyak kamut ha'trufa. In order to set, in a precise way, the quantity of medication, shachalei yekabel meshach kol sha'ah, which the patient will receive every hour. B'meichol, during the week, yachol achol elena teke tamachshir me'achashmal mipam lepam, v'lelecha l'sherutim u'chadome. So during the week, someone is hooked up to this. They can be unhooked from it and go to the bathroom, whatever they need to do. B'Shabbos, on the other hand, on Shabbos, usur la'zozos. You're not allowed to do that. V'yitzterech levakesh sir al yad mitato. He'll need to ask for a bedpan. Ach, however, What if he's embarrassed to use a bedpan in a room with other patients? Yesh kan mishum kavod abrios. That introduces the issue of human dignity, which we know the Gemara in Bracha says that it overrides dirabanans. The yuchal levakesh me'akum lenatek the achrechin lechaber et hamachshir lachashmal. So he's allowed to ask a non-Jew to detach him from the to detach the device from the electricity and then reattach it. Amira la'akum, asking a non-Jew to do things on Shabbos is rabbinically prohibited, but it will be allowed because of kavod abrios, because of human dignity. That's what he's saying. Me'idach, on the other hand, asur levakesh me'akum la'azazos kedei l'mashal alecha lebeit hakneset shebeit hacholim kedei l'tepalel b'minyan. He says, we would not justify this if the reason he wants to be separated from the device is that he can go daven with a minion in the hospital chapel. That's not adequate as justification. Kavod abrios, human dignity, yes. Davening with a minion, no. V'hiskimim kolzeh moi v'rabi agon Rav Neuvert shlita. He says, when Rav Neuvert agreed with me on this. V'hosif li biksav. And he added, in writing, v'alpi ha'amur le'el b'shem agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach zatzal. Yitachen shegam zeh nitan lahatirim ein sham nura. He says, based on what was said in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman earlier, and I think what he means is regarding electricity being a derabanan in Rav Shlomo Zalman's mind, so it could be that this would be permitted as well, meaning being able to go to be unhooked in order to go to shul, so long as there is not an electric light, and he means here an incandescent, because then you end up in real De'oraisa territory. But otherwise, he says, he thinks that that would be, that's something that would be allowed. Va'od hosif, and he also added, dim yesham nurat, if there is a light bulb, ve'ein sham akum, and you don't have a non-Jew to ask for help, v'uzakuk l'sherutim, and the patient needs to go to the bathroom, yinatek et hamachshir b'shinui, so he should unplug the device using a shinoi, do it in an unusual way. In parentheses, dahainu bein shtei etzba'os hayad o im shtei yadav, Avram Sofer Avram. And he adds his own note. What would constitute a shinoi? You grip the plug between two fingers to pull it out. That's one. Or, he says, you pull it out with two hands. And what he means by that is, the Gemara in Shabbos says, that a malacha which is normally done with one hand, that's not true. That's two people. No, it must be that what he means is gripped between two hands, like going like that. You know, you can't see that on the Zoom. But gripping it between two hands is what he means. I thought he meant something else, but he doesn't. He means that, gripping it between two hands. That's his idea. And the idea behind that is what he says in the next line. Re'eba Mishnah Brura, Shebemakom shel kavod abrios, mutter gam lasos iser de oraisa b'shinui. That in a case of kavod abrios, of human dignity, you are allowed to violate a biblical prohibition with a shinui. And here's what he's referring to. He's talking about a case in which somebody has something stuck in his teeth. You're sitting at the table, or maybe you finished eating, and you realize there's visible food that's stuck in your teeth and you can't get it out. So you want a toothpick, but you don't have a toothpick. What you do have is a piece of wood, which is a little too thick. So you say to yourself, what I'll do is I'm going to carve it a little bit with my fingernail, and then it'll be usable as a toothpick. And the Mishnah Brura writes that you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, even though carving something so that it'll be a useful shape should be prohibited as mitakein. You're fixing it, you're making it a useful device, call it mitakein mana, makabapatish, some version of that. Nonetheless, it's allowed because shaping it with your hand is a derabanan, is a shinoi, it's a shinoi, and therefore derabanan, and it's kavod abrios. So he says here if there is a device that you're hooked up to and you need to be unhooked in order to go use the washroom, then you can do that by unhooking it with a shinui. That's his solution, despite the light bulb. Dr. Felder.
I'm trying to picture most of these cases, it's a patient in the hospital in the bed. I don't know that the patient's going to be getting up and doing all these things at all. It seems like so often to me, like somebody else is going to be doing it for the person. Is whatever I'm distinguishing in these cases, whether some of the patient's doing it or somebody else is doing it for them?
Nope. No distinction whatsoever. Well, whenever we say that somebody is allowed to do malacha on Shabbos for the sake of a chola, pikuach nefesh, all these things, it isn't only the chola who's allowed to do it, but in the event that someone else's help is needed, then they're able to do it.
And is there any preference with regard to that? If you can do it yourself, is that better than asking somebody else to be complicit?
I don't believe so. Okay. I don't believe so, no. We talk about all sorts of cases, cooking food for a chola, turning on a light for a chola, and all those cases. We're not talking about the chola doing it. Yeah. Okay. So the Nishmas Avram quotes that from the Mishneh Berurah to permit unhooking from this device in order to be able to use the washroom. Then he says, "Ach, however, Kasav li agon Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, ho'il v'chazon ish mechayev ein ani omer lahatir." Since the Chazon Ish says this is a deoraisa, I'm not so comfortable permitting it. Chazon Ish is the Rebbe of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Now take a look at footnote 29, down in the fine print at the bottom of the page. Va'amar li hagon Rav Yisrael Aryeh Bach Shlita. Rav Yisrael is a son of Rav Shlomo Zalman and a significant halachic authority. He says, Rav Yisrael Aryeh Bach told me, Shekhavanaso shel aviv zatzal hu lahatir lelo shinui. When his father says, I would not feel comfortable permitting this because the Chazon Ish says it's a deoraisa, that means if someone wants to do it without a shinui. But if you're going to do it with a shinui, Rav Shlomo Zalman is still okay with it. And then he continues to say, Ure'e b'sefer Asya, and he gives you a reference to it in the journal Asya, Shemesaper harav Dr. Mordechai Halperin Shlita. Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Halperin asked a question. You're a doctor working in a hospital in Bnei Brak. The Chazon Ish was the posek for Bnei Brak. So if you're a doctor working in the hospital in Bnei Brak, do you follow the Chazon Ish that this is a Da'araisa because he was the Mara Da'asra? How does he handle this question, parentheses, p'tichat u'skirat magal chashmali, opening and closing electrical circuits, b'mekomo shel Chazon Ish, in Chazon Ish's town? Ana gon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, Rav Shlomo Zalman answered, k'shemedubar b'beit cholim, if we're talking about someone in a hospital, gam b'bnei brak ein halacha k'das Chazon Ish. Even in Bnei Brak, we don't follow the Chazon Ish. If the patient is in a hospital, that's not the psak we follow. Ulam, however, bebayit prati, in a private home, gam b'Yerushalayim anu machmirim lechatchila. Then even in Yerushalayim, we would be strict lechatchila to try to satisfy the view of the Chazon Ish. Ma she'en ken legabe cholim, gam she'en b'em sakana, tzarech linog al piyadin. As opposed to a chole, even a chole who is not dangerously ill, you have to go with the letter of the law, which he says is not like the Chazon Ish. So he says, we're going to follow the Chazon Ish to be strict at home, working with the assumption that the conditions are not so severe there, or maybe there is not the same concern for embarrassment that we talked about. But in a hospital setting, not following the view of the Chazon Ish, even in Bnei Brak. I thought that was a very interesting note. Okay, so the patient has now unhooked himself from the device in order to go to the bathroom, right? He had to, covered up Rios. But now you have a problem. The patient comes back to the bed. Hooking yourself up to the device now doesn't have the justification of human dignity. So he writes, Ubachazaraso, when he comes back, Kevin Shechayav Lahamshich Matipul Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, because our case that we gave was somebody who was in a Pikuach Nefesh situation, it was a life and death case. If there's no non-Jew around to do it, so you yourself put the plug in the outlet in order to activate the device, hakol toch kedei shinui, and do all of it with a shinui. So bisikum, he says, to summarize, lefi haChazonish, according to the Chazonish, behotzaat hateka mehasheka, when you pull the plug out of the wall, out of the outlet, eila machshir zeh kol tafkid, this device is useless now. It has no function. Calls manche no mechubar l'sheka, as long as it's not plugged in. Va'peruk hurak l'shem davar she'eino kashur l'shimush b'machshir. Da'inu k'dei she'achola yachola tzeis achutza. And he says, disconnecting it is only for the purpose of something that isn't about the use of this device. It's that the patient can go outside. It's not a medical thing. V'lachein, I see your hand. V'lachein, yesh bo iser bona. Therefore, there's an issue of construction. V'mela gam iser soser, and there's an issue of demolition. V'yamuter laso zos rak b'shinoi b'makom sheyesh mishum kavod abrios. So you would require a kavod abrios situation, and then you still do it with a shinoi. Via aser k'dei lelechas beis haknesses l'spala b'minyan. And saying, well, I want to be allowed to do this so I can go daven with a minyan, is not adequate justification. Yes, Dr. Block.
Yes, all these devices now are battery backup.
Mm-hmm. So it's even better.
That would be better theoretically, because you really the machine is still working.
Yeah.
You're just adding to the machine somehow by plugging it in.
Right. Correct. I would think unless you're going to tell me that there's actually a changeover of power source when you plug it in, and that activates a new circuit, because now you're activating the system that's drawing power from the outlet. Maybe that you need to talk to an engineer to find out how this works. I don't know. So he says that was all within the Chazonish, right? When he started on the summary, that was the Chazonish's position. Lumadzot, on the other hand, he says, L'das agon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, shekach darko lishtamish b'machshir, yeh mutter lenatek as ha-machshir me'akir, ke'alo afilu ha-machola mekabel as ha-iwir li-yoser mitisha yamim, ach b'mechol vadeh menatek as atzmo k'dei lagia l'sherutim l'fachos pam b'yom v'chein l'beis ha-knesses l'tfila, v'imkein ein b'chlal iser shel bone. He says, the position of Rosh Shlomo Zalman is that the person who's using this device will be allowed to separate it from the wall, because even if the patient is receiving, even if the patient is receiving the infusion for more than 9 days, the SA will say it's like a permanent thing. It's permanently attached. He says, doesn't matter. Even during the week, the patient definitely unplugs himself from time to time. He has to go use the bathroom or something. Or he goes to shul. This is during the week, not Shabbos. V'im kein, ein b'chlal iser shel bona. And if so, there's no issue of construction anymore, because this isn't considered to be a permanent attachment. Why did he invoke 9 days versus other things? I'm not going into now the definition of permanence. But he says, there's no problem then. U'medubar rak al iser shel hadlaka v'kibui shel nura kara. All we're talking about is turning on or off a cold light, by which he means an LED, b'machshev, on the computer. She'im ba'ale iser derabanan. That's only a derabanan. V'gam hu psik reishat lo ichpas lei. And not only that, it's a guaranteed result that you don't care about. And I'm going to come back to explain that in a moment. V'adai mutter b'makom shel kavod abrios. It's certainly permitted in the case of human dignity. V'gam k'dei lehispalo b'minyan, and even to allow davening with a minyan. Ki im hu motzias hateka b'shinoi yesh kan trei d'rabbanan b'makom mitzvah. Because if you unplug it rabbinically with a shinoi, you're now down to two d'rabbanans for the sake of being able to do a mitzvah. Why is it two d'rabbanans? One is the shinoi, obviously. The other is that the electric light that you're talking about is an LED. That takes care of the light problem. But also he introduces the point about psik reisha delo ichpas lei. So that's a bigger topic. I think I might have actually introduced it a little. No, I didn't. I didn't introduce it when we did the introduction to this section. Okay, so let me just explain. Normally, we say that you're, if a malacha is not a guaranteed result of your actions and you don't intend it, then it's less severe. It's less of a concern. However, if it's a guaranteed result, what we call psik reshe, I'm not going into what psik reshe literally means, it's not relevant for us right now, but if it's a guaranteed result of your actions, then it doesn't matter whether you intended it or not, whether you wanted that result or not. So in other words, if I know that, let's say I have a motion detector in my house, or let's say there's an alarm that is hooked up to the front door of my house, and I know that when I open the door, so a light is going to turn on as a result of that, the light on the panel or whatever it is. I'll say, okay, but I don't care about the light. Nonetheless, the answer is, yeah, but it's a guaranteed result. Therefore, it's not allowed. That's the psik reshe concern. It's like opening up the refrigerator if the light bulb hasn't been unscrewed in the refrigerator, right? It's a problem. However, there is something called psik reshe delo ichbas lei, where you don't care at all about this malacha that results from your action. It comes up in Tosfos. Tosfos is the originator of this, based on a case in which a person washes their hands over their neighbor's grass, and the neighbor's grass is thereby watered, and you weren't trying to do it. And the assumption is, you don't care about the quality of your neighbor's grass. I mean, the argument could be, you know, you dafka don't want the neighbor's grass to be green, because then your grass looks bad. But the point is, it's called lo ichbas lei. You don't care about it. And that reduces the halachic severity of this action. So he says here, you don't care about the LED on the screen when you unplug this device. Therefore, it's a psik reshe delo ichbas lei. There's more to be said about that. I forgot we were going to hit that today, because that's actually invoked as one of the reasons why you don't need to worry about a CPAP machine that has a digital readout. If you cover it up and you don't care at all about the numbers, then you argue it's lo ichbas lei. That's one of the arguments that's brought for why that's not a problem. In any case, going back to this comment from the Nishmas Avram, we're now on the second paragraph on the page that says Shin Ted Zayin. Irui kazeh. This is a new thought. So anything on what we've said until now?
Could you just explain again?
Yeah.
I didn't understand the thing about being on the machine permanent versus not permanent on the infusion machine.
Right. So the issue was whether you would call it construction or demolition if you have something that is attached to the wall in an ongoing way, and then you unplug it. Separate from the issue of activating the device or deactivating the device, is the device considered part of the wall because it remains plugged in for such a long period of time? To which his answer is, it doesn't remain plugged in straight. You unplug it for various reasons at different times. It gets moved from room to room. The patient needs to go for a walk, whatever. There are lots of reasons why it's unplugged, and therefore it's not a concern that it's considered a permanent attachment to the wall. That was his point.
That changes the status of Malach on Shabbos if it's longer?
Well, potentially, yeah, because if something is a permanent attachment to the wall, then I'm not supposed to remove it on Shabbos. That would be a form of demolition.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you.
Sure. Dr. Felder.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the sort of subjective element in there. When you say, for example, I don't really care whether the neighbor's grass is greener or not greener, might somebody respond and say, you should care. I mean, you're doing a thing, and I know you emotionally don't care. Similarly, I'm wondering if somebody, let's say, says, Kavod Briya, somebody might say, get over it. You don't want to deal with it. You know, and so there is a level of a volitional component here, and I'm wondering whether we're sort of giving room for a volitional component when we shouldn't be or should always be.
Right. Good. So in both of those cases, there are certain rules that are given. Both the case of psik reshe delo ichbas lei, where we have a case that we base it on that's from the Gemara, the case of watering the grass, so that becomes an objective standard. And also, very much so, in the discussion about covered embryos and what qualifies and doesn't qualify. There's a huge amount of discussion about that. My favorite tshuva on that, favorite not in the sense that I enjoy the case, but it's the ideal example, is a posek who argues in the case where there's a truck driver who whose finger becomes severed, not a Shabbos discussion, but he's a Kohen, and his finger becomes severed. And there's an issue of tumah if you reattach the finger. And so the posek who's dealing with this shaila says, well, it's not kavod habrios, because this happens to people, that they have accidents and then they lose the finger, and people walk around that way, and it's not a diminution of their kavod at all. I think that may depend. Your mileage may vary on that one. So yes, there is discussion about what constitutes kavod habrios and what level of insult, so to speak. Okay. So he now brings up a new point, which I don't know if anyone here was at, I think Larry, you might have been here, at my shiur at Shalosh Shudas. This past Shabbos, I actually invoked this. We were talking about hearing aids on Shabbos, and the topic came up of changing the battery in a hearing aid. So this is directly relevant to where he's going now, which happened to be that it came out to be relevant to Bol Shiurim. Iroi kazeh shapoel al solala. Let's say you have a battery-powered infusion device, right? Dr. Block mentioned them being battery-powered now. Or somebody mentioned them being battery-powered now. So amar li mori v'rabi agon rav noi v'rchlita. Shemuter l'chole, o l'gadol shemulaveh katan chole, l'taltelo sotoch kosle beis hacholim, k'dei shachole yuchal yistoveh b'shabes v'afilum yesh nura d'luka b'machshir. He's first dealing with the muktza issue. And he says, the battery-powered device, even though it has a battery in it, nonetheless, he says, the patient, or if it's a kid and they need an adult to be with them, the adult who's going with the kid, they're allowed to move it around within the walls of the hospital. Not outside the hospital, that's a different problem of carrying. But you can move it around within the walls of the hospital on Shabbos. And even if there's a light that's on in the device, that doesn't stop me from being able to do that either. Even though you'll argue that the light is considered muktzah, that's not an issue. He doesn't go into depth on that, and I'm not going to right now. It's the next paragraph that I wanted you to see. Kasavti le'el b'shem agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. He says, I wrote earlier, in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman, shachlafat solala b'machshir refu'i b'shabbos, that changing a battery in a medical device on Shabbos, yitachen sheyesh ba iser Torah mishum bona, that could involve a biblical prohibition of bona, construction, kumechayed davar meis, because you're taking this dead device and giving it life. So therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to put a new battery into a device. V'lechora kasha, but he says, this is now hard to understand. Ma hevdol bein zeh lebein hachnasas teka l'sheka. What's the difference between that and plugging something into the wall? Sheladato zatzah, where we saw Rav Shlomo Zalman say, ein bo iser shel bona. There is no issue of construction, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, when I plug a device into the wall. Why is it bona to put a battery into a device? And it's not bona to plug a device into the wall. Halo l'chora gam sham hu mechayed davar meis. There also, he's bringing to life a dead device. Ki yafshar lishtamish b'iroi b'li chashmal. You can't use this IV without electricity. You're making it functional. So he says, maybe you have to say, it's one of those turns of phrases that works better in Hebrew than in English. Maybe you have to say, shekeven shu machnis guf acher hasolala letoch hamachshir. Since in the case of the medical device that you put the battery into, you're introducing a separate entity into this. So therefore, yesh bo mishum bona. That has an issue of construction, because you're taking two separate things and joining them together to create a functional device. V'lo kein kishum mechaberes ha'iroi lekir, not so when you plug the thing into the wall. Sham eino machnis guf chadash L'toch ha-machshir, there you are not introducing a new thing into the device. Ela mosif davar arai lebinyan kavua derech hishtamshus. All you're doing is temporarily attaching something to a permanent fixture, to the wall, for the use of that thing, that temporary thing. It's in a manner of use. It's not an act of construction. It's an act of I'm using this device. That's my thought, he says, for what maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman meant when he said plugging into the wall is fine, changing a battery is not fine. And he concludes, Va'amar li agon Rav Yisrael Auerbach shlita shepashut shezu haisa kavanas aviv zatzal v'samachti. He says, Rav Shlomo Zalman's son, Rav Yisrael, told me that it is obvious that that is what his father's thinking was. And Rabbi Dr. Abraham adds an editorial word, and boy, was I happy when it turned out that I was right. That I felt good about that one. But that's his statement about the difference between changing the battery and plugging in a device. Okay. So, yes, Dr. Block.
So it'd be a little more esoteric about it. Is electricity is not an entity as a mass. Here you're putting in a mass, and there you're putting in some sort of magical entity into the system.
Could be.
To bring it back to life.
Could be. I mean, he also is making the point that when you're dealing with something you plug into the wall, it's not considered a permanent attachment. It's only an attachment for the period of use, and that seems to matter to him as well. I'm not sure how I would apply that here. But I think that's another piece of it. I don't know. I have to admit, being a little bit less convinced about that point about it being temporary when you plug it into the wall, I'm not sure how that helps. But that's his position. All right. So we're actually up to elevators, but we're also up to 828. So I'm going to pause us here. Remember what I said in the email. Next week is a special shiur at 7 o'clock. OCD in Jewish law and thought. It is CME accredited, and everyone is welcome to participate. If you are participating, make sure you register at the link that I gave you in the flyer that I sent out, and that way I can give you CME credit for it. And then we'll resume, God willing, the following Monday night and talk about elevators. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.